In the studio, we have Trey Watkins. We've had him in here before, bringing some different perspective. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm white. Janet's white, and Trey's black. And I mean, you know, I hate to have to state that. It is radio, but he does bring a perspective, and Trey's not just...
that we can't have.
Right.
Just like I'm a girl.
Right.
You guys can't have that.
That's true.
Perspective.
You know, Trey brings a perspective because of his involvement in the community and the fact that he's not just somebody saying something. He and others are working together to do some real change in our city. And so he brings that perspective. He brings his own experience to the table. And he loves this country, and he loves the, you know, what it stands for. And he's concerned with the way things are going, Janet. And we played some of those Maxine Waters, and he's over there shaking his head when we played some of her stuff. And he even has a perspective that he shared while we were listening to the news. So welcome, Trey.
Thank you, Mark and Janet. I appreciate you having me on again. It's always a pleasure. Yeah. Yeah, the Maxine thing is predictable, right? You know, because if this trial continues to just go the way that we all think it's going, I mean, I know a lot of us are anxious because it could potentially go the wrong way. And by wrong, I mean, you know, him being acquitted of all charges or something like that. And then
I just don't see how that could happen.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah. But at the same time, the only thing that I, from my point of view that I've seen that could send it haywire is Maxine Waters.
Yeah, exactly. And that's and
like and I said, you're not surprised by that at all.
Not at all, because it
I
has
see it as diabolical.
It has everything to do with critical race theory. You see, critical race theory is the most hopeless thought process and this ideology, you know, and they can't have the system actually work. You know, if justice is served, and that goes against what they believe.
Right.
So if this trial just goes the way that it's going to go, and there's nothing to justify or reinforce what they believe, then they have to step in and force it to happen.
Right.
So in my mind, I was like, the Democrats and, you know, in politics are certainly hoping that this trial, you know, goes bad so that they can use it as justification to push everything that's currently pending in Congress.
Right.
All the laws, you know,
the voters' laws, right.
The gun laws, literally everything on the agenda. If you've noticed, it's all just sitting there pending, and they've just been sitting back. Mm-hmm. You look at the border, they're not doing anything. They want to use this, their Chauvin case. They want it to go wrong. Mm-hmm. And if it goes wrong, it's going to be a full court press. Mm-hmm. They are going to shove everything, and they're going to use this situation as justification for it. And you look at all the other things surrounding it, the shooting that happened in Brooklyn, the Brooklyn Center, and then, you know, the incident that happened here in Virginia, which happened in December. And you notice that they you know, resurrected that video.
Of course.
And they released that video the week of, you know, of what happened, you know, that week. And so it's like, you see the strategy, you know, you see the game plan. We all know what the game plan is.
Right.
And I mean, they don't really hide their playbook much. But the Maxine thing was totally predictable.
Ugh.
I mean, it's totalitarian in its nature. And,
I mean, you've got the judge calling it out from the stand.
Yeah. And I believe he said that. This very well may be, you know, used in the appeal process.
He did.
Yeah, he absolutely
said that.
And there you go. Like, that was completely, it was very
strategic.
And you
could just hear the frustration and aggravation with it.
Sure.
Very strategic. And nothing's going to happen to her. Nothing's going to happen to Maxine.
No, it hasn't.
It won't. Because look at Cuomo. Mm-hmm. Look at Northam. Look at, I can go down the list.
Right.
And look at Rashida Tlaib.
Sure.
No.
Look at AOC. I mean, all of they get away with murder.
Yeah,
literally. What Maxine did, she could have caused a death. She would have been, according to her own words and the words of people that, you know, just lean so far left, they would say that Maxine's words could have potentially caused the death of two National Guardsmen.
Just the other night,
You know, who barely dodged a drive-by shooting just a couple hours after she was shown on the news saying, be more confrontational.
Right.
You know, they're doing everything they can to incite chaos in the streets. And it's all done to push their agenda and get all these policies passed.
Why do you think that there are so many people out there who are willing to be played in this way?
I don't think it's so much willing as it is, you know, indoctrination and just the media.
They don't realize that they're being played.
It. When you and I've seen the scenario online, and they do a good job, certain videos and certain channels, like, they will objectively, like, they will just, you know, interview people and talk to them about something, and they'll, the person being interviewed will think that the person interviewing them is asking them questions about something they already believe in. Mm-hmm. And it's like they're going along with it, and they are agreeing with things being said. And then once they tell them that this is something that either Trump believes,
right,
or that, right, you know, that,
oh, yeah,
you know, they're like,
no. That can't be right.
You know, and so, and when I talk to people, and, you know, I see it, you know, it's not, that's why they don't believe in free speech. Mm-hmm. Like, critical race theory does not believe in free speech. That's why they don't want to talk about it, because they can't talk about it, because they're not talking about anything that has anything to do with facts or anything legitimate, has everything to do with feelings.
Right.
As long as a person feels this way, mm-hmm, then to them is their reality and their truth.
And that's right. why we can't have any intelligent debate or conversations.
Yes. And which highlights a major point that I wanted to bring up today. Like, having these platforms where we have these discussions about it is maybe the most important thing that we're doing in communities, because if we're not talking about these issues, especially in our communities, then where are people talking about it at? You, mm-hmm, can't go on Facebook and social media nowadays,
right,
and,
right,
begin,
right,
talking about these things, because they're censoring certain topics.
We
get into these silly arguments.
They censored Breonna Taylor's mother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she spoke out against Black Lives Matter.
Yeah. As frauds, which they are. You know,
yeah.
A group of people that's trying to help Black people.
How is that even possible? How do you silence, mm-hmm, the victim's mother? I don't see how any objective person can sit by and think that that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't, yeah. I can't, but I guess, again, it depends on, you know, how you were raised and what you were around and yeah, how you were taught to think.
I think, I'll give us some credit. People are waking up. So, I like I said last time I was here, there's a lot of people who are looking at everything and seeing it for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, that's good.
And it is good.
That's,
you know,
good.
And the TV and the media does not reflect what's going on, at least in the Lynchburg community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm in the community all day, every day, and I talk to people about it often when I get an opportunity and a chance,
mm-hmm,
to.
Mm-hmm.
And people see it.
Yeah. You know, and so that's a good thing.
And the minority groups, you know, within the country are waking up, and they're beginning to understand that the Democratic Party is not serving the minority groups.
Mm-hmm.
And the Democratic Party recognize that the minorities recognize this. They know it better than anybody.
Right.
And that is why they're doing everything they can to censor everything and silence it, because the more that they get exposed, the more that people will, you know, run away from it. And so, you know, I think something that's just continuing to be overlooked is, you know, the blacks are there. There are so many more black Trump supporters,
mm-hmm,
than what's being reported or spoken of.
Right.
If I remember right, you know, there was a lot of reports of saying that Trump got 12% of the black vote, for instance. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which was high.
Right.
You know,
sure.
But I think that's not even half of the real percentage of blacks that voted for Donald Trump, because you're not allowed to be openly supportive of,
sure,
Donald Trump,
sure,
if you're
right,
black.
Right.
It's almost that's as bad as being called a racist.
Oh, sure. That's called the silent majority. That's
yes,
why it's
yes.
called that.
Yeah. And so many people are shamed, you know, for believing, you know, for being objective and just having an opinion or just believing in what they believe in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you never really get a true feel for, you know, how many people are actually voting. But I believe it's at least double
right.
that 12%.
I think there's more voices that are coming up. I just saw this thing on Tucker the other day. Miles Torre, Black Guns Matter.
Oh, yeah.
I had never heard of it.
Oh, yeah.
Had never. This guy speaks all over the country.
Yeah.
Talking about the Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about conservative issues.
Not only that, he goes around and he trains
people. He trains people.
He goes around the country,
yep.
tours the country.
Mm-hmm.
To, you know, he talks about gun violence and
right.
and talks about safety. It's very important. The work he's doing is great.
Yeah.
And you know, but they don't want to hear that part.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Like, and what they don't want to hear and what they don't want to talk about is, you know, in 2020, there's a 60% increase in gun ownership among the black population.
Interesting.
That is a massive number. Mm-hmm. But why? Why are black people
buying more
guns?
Well, because I think they see the handwriting on the wall.
Yes.
They are not going to get the help that they need from the police,
yes,
because the police are going to get defunded.
Yes. I mean, in Minneapolis, they're talking about taking guns away from traffic police who are doing the traffic stop. That's insanity.
Listen, if they're talking about disarming the police, then what do you think is coming for the American citizens?
Right, sure.
And black people recognize this, and it's more urgent in the black community because there's spikes of violence and drug abuse in the black communities all over the country, and you're talking about defunding the police and disarming the law-abiding citizens,
right?
And you're doing nothing to address crime in America.
Right.
That is an equation for disaster. Black people recognize this immediately.
Of course, they do.
You know, and you couple that with the distrust and that disconnect between the black community and the police, and so it's self-reliance and.
Right. Right, you know, exactly.
And that's why I'm like, listen, the black community is seeing this. They understand, we understand it, and people are eventually going to start voting that way in more massive numbers.
And I think if you go back in history, if I'm not mistaken, with the NRA, there was a huge portion of the black community that were for the NRA way back when it first started.
Yeah.
I mean, it was...
You needed your right to own a gun because you had terrorist groups like the KKK, and you had groups that were very brutal and terrorizing black communities. Mm-hmm. And so the only way you really had to protect, you was capable of protecting yourself was having a firearm.
Right.
And so, I mean, I know so many people with guns.
Right.
And, you know, I own several guns myself. And so, it really speaks to the... When you look at the media, you turn on CNN and MSNBC, and you see the content that they're speaking on, and it doesn't reflect the things that I see.
I don't know if you saw the little monologue from Chris Cuomo that's making the news here in the last 48 hours, where he said that until white kids are being shot, and he flipped it upside down. That's when we're going to really begin to pay attention. It was very patronizing. I think if you watch the monologue, you would be angry. I watched it and I was angry, and I just felt like he's trying to find a voice because
kids shouldn't be shot at all.
It doesn't matter.
But
if
you look at the numbers, kids are shooting kids.
Right.
That's the problem.
Right.
You want to look at the way kids are dying?
Yep.
They're killing each other.
Sure.
Look what happened in Chicago.
Yeah, the 13-year-old
kid.
Yep.
And
CBS edited the video to where you couldn't see the gun that he was holding.
And you're not allowed to speak. You're not allowed to really talk about. Maybe I shouldn't say allowed. Maybe we have to stop giving them so much power because we are allowed. We're talking about it right now.
Right.
We are.
They do not want us to speak the truth and the fact and how, like, the elephant in the room. What is a 13-year-old child doing out at 2:38 a.m. in Chicago?
Right.
With a loaded gun.
Right.
With a 21-year-old kid. That's in the Latin King gang. Running from the police with a gun in his hand.
Right.
I mean, none of, like, those things aren't the... highlight of what happened. It's just, the police shot a 13-year-old kid.
Right.
Well, I mean...
there's so much more to the story.
Yes. And I mean, you're not allowed to say, hey, where are the parents?
Right.
Sure.
Like, that highlights the biggest issue and problem that we're seeing in a lot of these communities. The parenting. Where are the parents? I think the shooting happened on, like, a Monday or a Tuesday night, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? If we had schools open in Chicago,
then
the next day, that child would have been in school.
Sure.
Therefore, he wouldn't have been out at 2:30 in the morning. He probably would have been home, and his mother would have known where he was.
Mm-hmm.
And And that's just a small
look. As my
incident.
Mother used to say, nothing good happens after midnight. You don't have any business having your rear end out of this house after midnight. I mean, she was very, very specific.
You look at what's going on. I mean, you look at that situation, and it's happening all over the country. The more that kids aren't in school, the more, you know, they're easily recruited into the gangs and into bad activities. And then once you're in, we all know it's very, very hard to get out of that system and then a lifestyle. You know, the prevention and intervention programs, you know, aren't funded as well. And so it's on the rise. Right now you have a flat out open border. We understand this.
Right.
The border is open. What they're not talking about as much, though, is how much the drugs and the fentanyl and these opioids and the and drugs we don't even know about yet that is pouring into the country.
Right.
I mean, like a fire hose, and it's going to hit every area of America, and it is going to devastate us.
Yeah, we've got to go to break, but we'll be back, and we'll be talking about just the things that you're talking about. They abruptly did close some of those yesterday. We'll talk about that when we return. Trey, we appreciate you being with us this morning. Hope you'll hang around as we finish up this half hour.
Absolutely.
The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb.
It's the Morning Jam, 7:24. Mark Lamb here with you, along with Janet Rose and Trey Watkins in the studio, talking about some of the issues that we're facing in the area of the George Floyd, the critical race theory. Of course, the closing arguments yesterday, and Maxine Waters was out stirring the pot a bit. And to the point where the judge...
The Titanic leaked a little.
Yeah. Well, only time was going to tell whether she had an impact on whether this could be even thrown out, according to the judge, because of her interference.
Well, and so many people are saying in any other circumstance, there would have been a mistrial declared after that.
Yeah.
But I think the people there are really scared about what is going to happen.
Yeah.
And I've heard some people say that regardless of the verdict, they're afraid of how people are going to react.
Mm.
Yeah, I truly believe that the folks who believe in critical race theory and that is really pushing this agenda cannot allow this to happen. They can't allow our justice
to be
prevail.
Served.
And you know, and it just be what it is, and the country sort of rejoices and takes a deep breath and say, okay, like, and begin healing, and we can begin seeing each other as human beings and as individuals, opposed to looking at everything through the lens of race.
Right.
That's what they see, and that's what they believe. They have cemented in their minds this belief that there are no individuals.
Mm-hmm.
We are all, you know, different races, and there's no hope. There's no reason to believe in this system because the entire system is designed, you know, and founded on race. So there's no way to really navigate
and
it. There's no way if you're black, you must be oppressed and you shouldn't. There's no way to get through the system. Like, this is what they want to teach the kids. And this is already, you know, a type of mindset.
But it's such a defeatist attitude.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. It's behind my theory is that the people behind critical race theory that's posing as anti-racists are the actual racists.
Mm.
I will say that openly and blatantly, because if you think about what the end goal and the end game would be for critical race theory, it would be a white supremacist or racist's dream. I mean, you couldn't want. I mean, if you're a racist, what more would you want?
Just flip flopped.
Yeah. I mean, what would be better than dismantling the Civil Rights Act?
Right.
Yeah.
If you're racist, right? That would be everything that you would want.
Yeah.
Even getting rid of the Constitution.
Yeah.
The Constitution protects all of us as individuals and as people.
And very clearly says, you know, addresses the race and the.
So
we have a question from a listener. He's asking, is violence and drug use within black communities organized similar to Al Capone or Casa Nostra?
I think maybe even if it's not on that level now, it certainly will be, and maybe even bigger and more. Like I can't express that enough. You know, when you're, I mean, you've been covering the border and everything that's happening there. I mean, we see what's happening. I mean, this isn't, you know, they can try and say, this is just seasonal or, you know, this is something that Trump, no, this is not something that Trump created. This is something that is, it's not just the United States and Mexico. This is China. This is, you know, this has everything to do with drugs. Everything with immigration has so much to do with drugs because it's such a, it makes so much money, you know, and there, you know, when you have so many people, what was it, like 170 some thousand in 1 month?
Or it's
in 100,000.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, like, that is a lot of people. That might be half the people that actually got through, right? Because we're not catching everybody.
Sure.
Right.
So, and the cartels are very intelligent. They're very structured, very organized. This isn't,
They saw the opportunity immediately. I mean, you had the Mexican government going, what are you doing?
I mean, if you think about it, they've been planning this for almost a year, if you think about it, because the moment Joe Biden became the candidate, and he starts talking about everything that he was saying. I mean, he was saying a lot of stuff this time last year. We shouldn't be surprised at all.
Right.
You know, he's saying, listen, he literally said, we're going to surge the border. He said that.
Yeah.
I said, wait, what? I saw it on the news and they replayed that clip. He's like, we're going to surge the border. And, you know, and so the cartels understand this better than our government, maybe, and the Border Patrol. This is what they live and die for. So. They're very organized. They know exactly what they're doing. They're pushing the people in one direction, you know, to overwhelm the system. And on the backside, you know, they're coming in and they're pouring drugs in. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah,
they're
making tons of money off the people. Got 30 seconds, Janet. You want to ask any last quickies?
I could do this all day.
I know.
So the question I was going to go into would lead us into another half hour discussion.
Okay.
So I'll save it till next time.
Yeah. Trey, thank you so much for stopping by.
Absolutely.
Always.
Hey, I got to shout out VMI. You know, we just won our first conference championship. Congratulations to Superintendent Wins. This is an incredible step forward. And I'm looking forward to our game against JMU on Saturday. I'll be there. I bought tickets. You know, shout out to my family.
Okay.
And I love my kids and my dear wife.
Trey Watkins, checking in with the Morning Jam.
Start your mornings on the right foot and listen to the Morning Jam, 6 to 9 a.m.